Do we have a quorum?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. We may begin, and we'll start with you, Jeff, introducing yourself.
Jeff Clements, Council Research.
Velma Roundsville, Northwest CPAC.
Charles Barr, representing Council President and Vice Chairman.
Dr. Hargrove, representing Council President as well as Chair of True Commission.
Raymond Day, representing the Southeast CPAC.
Tony Zabuni, Council President.
Bruce Tyson, Southwest CPAC.
Tommy Carter, Council Auditor's Office.
They first review the minutes.
I move the minutes be approved with any necessary corrections.
Second.
Okay, it's been properly moved in seconds. Any questions? Okay, it's been unanimously. All in favor? I apologize.
Aye.
By opposed? Properly moved in. Moved in second. Thank you. Right, public comment. Not you. Look like a little boy over there.
Spectating.
Really? Okay. Auditor's report.
Yes, ma'am. Through the chair to the commission. The Council Auditor's Office has released 7 reports since the last True Commission meeting. Report 874, which is a special report on Shands Jacksonville, was released on January 10th, 2024. Report 726C, which was the follow-up on the Municipal Code Compliance Division revenue audit, was released on January 11th, 2024. This was the third follow-up. There were 12 issues with the original audit, and there are 2 remaining issues with this follow-up. Reports 875, 876, and 877. The Sheriff's Investigative Fund, these are attestations. These were for fiscal years 2018-19, fiscal years 19 and 20, and fiscal years 2021. Was released on January 11th of 2024. A report number 878 was the Council Auditor's Office 2023 Budget Summary Report was released on January 22nd of 2024. This report's a recap of the actions taken by the Finance Committee and the City Council during this past summer's budget hearings. A report 879 is the Council Auditor's Office 2223 Annual Report. This was released on January 22nd of 2024. It's a summary of what the Council Auditor's Office worked on over the fiscal year 22 and 23. I'll let Chairman or Count Commissioner R, I'll get it right in a minute, Chair of the Audit Committee. We just went over those reports previously in an audit committee meeting. I can go into more depth if y'all have any questions on those audits.
Yes, have any questions? Any more depth information you guys need? No, not at this time.
Okay.
Thank you.
I didn't have it for the January meeting. Commissioner Henry had asked a couple of questions. One we had sent out on an email. Jeff, I believe it's in it. I don't know, did you send it out to the True or did you send it? Okay.
Send it to?
To Commissioner Henry.
There you go. Thank
okay.
you for that.
Yeah, okay. An answer to his question. The second part of his question, he had asked the expenses of ASM on why they had gone over. What the expenses were for. The other operating expenses were repairs and maintenance on the facilities that they had used. I believe it was 4.2 million, I believe. And the other one under contractual services, those were all related to the events that they brought in. They brought in more events than was budgeted, so the expenses were more. And in that category, the revenue came in was more also, but there were more expenses related to that. And in answer to your question, as far as written authority from the city, the contract terms weren't followed on that aspect. However, the city did know they were going to spend more than was budgeted, but I don't believe they sent written authorization as was required by the contract. We've been told by the administration that they were working to oversee the contract in a better manner.
Can I? You know I was going to ask. So they just spent $4 million above their budget allocation and no one said anything?
Well, sorry,
let me rephrase that. They spent $4 million above their budget allocation. The city recognized that they needed to do the expense for the maintenance, but no one signed or followed the contract to officiate it.
Well, they're allowed to, but under contract terms with city written authority.
Right. So the terms are as such, if you don't have that signed document, then you can't do that.
According to the terms of the contract. But as far as what I've been able to ascertain, they're watching and managing that better now, from what I understand.
So that's within the sports and entertainment division, or
yes.
at
ASM
Finance Administration.
It would be under special events, under the special events.
I was always under the assumption that when it was fund. Dollars, because I imagine these are fund dollars as opposed to being in general revenue, that there is even more scrutiny that's placed on how that money is spent than other pots.
And ASM is not my expertise, but
can you explain what ASM is?
It's the company that brings in
manages all the venues.
Yes,
like
that's the word.
The
arena, the Gator Bowl, Daly's Place.
It used to be SMG.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Well, it's now ASM Global.
Same company name change.
I think they may have merged with another company and changed their name.
Mm-hmm. But the city has been in business with them for more than two decades. And if you remember when they renewed the contract, much to my chagrin. They did so by negotiating a new contract with a term that pushed it out another 5 to 10 years without doing an open RFP that just extended it. But anyway, that's neither here or there.
It is.
Yeah, that's the secondary issue. But I you were saying, Mr. Harper.
I think I'd finish what I was going to say.
Okay. So I know you don't have experiences with this particular fund, but funds in general, am I right in my assumption or my understanding that funds that are set up within the budget have even more scrutiny placed upon them as opposed to dollars that are just coming out of the general fund?
Like an enterprise fund or something?
Correct. Or if the litigation fund or other funds that are set up for specific purposes.
I mean, they're watched, and they should be. If it's under a certain thing, either do a budget transfer or come to city council. You know, they still have to come to city council and budget transfer. But they to watch those expenditures. Yes, what happened here? Had the funds that they knew, they being the administration of the city, I'll just say the city, because I'm not sure which administration this was going to be under, knew.
I believe this is for the last fiscal year, so it would have been the old administration.
Half?
Yeah.
Yeah. Knew that they were going to spend past their budgetary authority. And like I said, it's in the contract that they're supposed to get written authority to do so. I don't know if there was a verbal. I don't know that part. I don't know. But regardless, they did overspend. And so
is it the same like JTA when they overspend in a particular area, they have to get a budget amendment, or is it treated differently?
They would have to, well, if they have written authority, then I'm not, that would probably take care of it.
Yeah.
They had the revenue come in, and this fund ended up with an overall revenue of $3 million to the good. So they had the revenue to cover it, but it should have either through the administration or through city council probably been amended.
So the last question, have they subsequent to that signed something to document that was authorized, or are they just saying moving forward we'll scrutinize it better?
From my understanding, there's nothing been signed in arrears going back. So what I've been told is going forward they said they would do better.
I have a question. Did they say how they're going to do better?
Better manage the contract.
They didn't say like what they're going to do?
No. They didn't provide some specifics. And
thank you.
This was done as part of the quarterly summary when this came out. This last quarter of fiscal 23. Yes, sir.
Okay. Who said they were going to manage the contract better? Previous administration or current administration?
Current.
I would think it's only fair to observe that I do believe that's why Senator Gibson was brought on board, was to do some of this contract administration and compliance. Am I correct in that?
I guess, but I don't think this contract is managed by that division. I believe this one's within the dominion of sports and entertainment because that's where that fund lives, follows into, if I understand.
A commission, sports and entertainment commission.
Oh, division. It's a division. Under Parks and Recreation.
No longer a commission.
Oh, I have a question.
Sorry.
So there are no, I'm sorry.
No.
There are no checks and balances in place for when these kinds of things happen. If someone was supposed to, something was supposed to be signed and it didn't get signed. I mean, there's no one that checks these things, or it was just like, oh, well.
Yes, there's supposed to be checks and balances. Whether they're already always done, that's a different story. But there are checks and balances in place. It's not always.
Through the chair, I wish this a way to take the assumption that the revenue exceeded the expenses.
It did.
But how do we, if they don't ask questions, how do we know that?
Well,
until after
it was reported on the quarterly summary, so it was after the fact. So
I'll restate what I said at the time. I was afraid that would be the answer because it gave the perception that the maintenance needs to be done. I mean, they've said that in every. At least I went to the MRC meeting in which they did their presentation for this current fiscal year that we're in, and they spoke to the large amount of expenses moving forward in all of the city venues that need considerable amount of investment in order for them to do maintenance. But my concern is more in process, because if you present the case in which they made more money than they expected based on ticket sales and the performances that they were able to hold at different venues, and they saw that they needed to do maintenance, and they said, okay, well, we have the money. Let's spend it to do the maintenance. The city says, yeah, you have the money. Let's do the maintenance. But no one's following the process to actually authorize it. Then regardless of whether or not that's what the contract says and everyone kind of implied consent, they still didn't follow the contract, so it's still a breach. So I'm just confused as to if there's no process or breach report or something that kind of identifies that from happening, so that way we don't see it in a quarterly summary. And if it wasn't in the quarterly summary, is that the only place they would have seen that breach occurred?
Through the chair, before y'all's time and my time here, when I was with General Counsel's office, we did see continuing contracts, not with them, but with security. And for instance, the security folks, they have a contract period. And then all of a sudden, they say we need additional overtime, and it was approved, and yet the contract says there will be none. So there's been a history going back forever in the city. If there's money there, we'll find a way to spend it. I'm very curious as to what the old or the new SMG contract says as to whether they should get the money and then, you know, or what it is. So if we could get a copy of that contract, I'd like to look at it just to see where it is and whether that should have been included in their lump sum or something else. I mean, I don't know. I don't know exactly what my role is here, but naturally there needs to be, you know, it's the old case, it's the Miarelli case. If you've got an express written contract with the government and you spend more money, but the contract says it has to be in writing and you don't get it in writing, guess what? We got sovereign immunity. There's nothing else. I mean, that might not be the moral thing to do, but we need to have, like you said, some mechanism or oversight. Just because the money is there, who's going to make the ultimate decision? So I'd like to see what the contract is and report right back to y'all, or we could all look at it.
I agree, because when I went back to look at the legislation, when the contract was approved, it had that language that city council and the mayor signed at the time that gave them that express authorization to be able to spend that with the city's authorization. It didn't have the contract within the legislation, so that would be great to actually see what the actual contract language says. But I think the part that's most concerning to me in addition to the process is the fact that it'd be one thing if this was within government, with government employees that we're making this reach happen. I don't want to say I get that, but I think it's a lesser degree when it's an outside vendor that contracts with the city that is almost acting on our stead to spend taxpayer dollars, and they overspent, and the city doesn't fulfill its end of the bargain to ensure that those dollars are appropriately accounted for.
It's back to probably what y'all have been, contract management.
Yeah.
So.
Non-existent. At this time.
At least.
It's happened consistently. Yes, Kim.
I just want to make a comment. I'm seeing a pattern here with many divisions, if you will, within the city government, in that they do things that without getting approval when they should. I go back to JTA, and this happens a lot in that they don't follow proper procedure, and the auditors go in and they find these problems or these deviations from procedures or contracts and so forth, and they bring it to light, yet it seems that nothing is ever done. It just continues to be reported that they continue to deviate from what they're supposed to do. That is concerning to me. And quite frankly, I'm not really sure how this body can address it other than to simply strongly state that this is unacceptable for these to continue, these reports to continue to come out that state that the different organizations and divisions are failing to follow policy and procedure that is, I'm sure, written, and that contracts that are legally binding documents are not being followed. That is a serious problem.
And I totally agree. Jeff, on our behalf, what can we do? I mean, besides, you know, send recommendation to the city councilman as well as the mayor office, what can we, you know, to get them to?
That is basically your authority, is to issue a report or a resolution to the mayor and the council, telling them what you found and asking them to do something about it.
I'm only speaking for myself, but for everybody else, how do you guys feel about that? Because that seems like, to me, it seems like something that needs to be done.
Definitely.
I would request that our chair appoint a committee to review these contract deviations we have of which we've been informed, and to issue a report to the city council. I make that as a form of a motion.
Anyone make a?
As far as, may I just say, is through the chair or to the chair, as part of the process, stuff has been going on back to the 1980s. We saw it in the old, if I could just deviate, in the old construction projects, that once upon a time everyone had 10% contingency, then the council didn't trust the mayor's office, so they took that out. So we'd have a big construction project, we'd be going on, we don't want to delay the contractor, so there's a deductive change order to take out all the windows and doors, but then we're going to go ahead and put in all the site work that needs to be done so the project doesn't slow down. So then you'd have to go back. I mean, stuff happens during the course of a project. So this is not something new. I don't want us to do something which may, I don't mind, so we need to find out something. I think once we make a preliminary report, once we determine who the watchdog is supposed to be and who the person being watched is, we should invite them to come in to speak. And, you know, we can go over the contract and see what they say before we generate a report to go, because I don't wish to embarrass either the council or anybody or the mayor's office or anybody, you know, until we've given everybody some due process. But that's just my two cents.
I'll say two things.
That's fine.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I believe, sorry, through the chair, I apologize for cutting you off. If you all remember when Mr. Freeman was here, the procurement chief, one he was speaking to in regards to the new procurement code, was the fact that his department is not responsible for contract management. It's up to the individual division or the responsible office that is managing that contract to basically manage it. So it's, in a sense, decentralized. So my question to Commissioner Day, in regards to your motion, is your intent to focus specifically on this instance, or is your intention to have us look at other instances in which we have seen in the past, and I'm sure we have it in the minutes at some place to review?
Well, I would think that whoever ends up chairing that committee can make that determination. I think that the charge should be as broad as possible to give that committee that flexibility. The chair could then provide appropriate guidance to the committee members. They can do as they wish. That's my intent, and that's why I made the motion.
Yeah. I totally agree with you guys, but
probably need a second.
You're good.
And we need a second to the motions, we can discuss.
I don't know that we need it, and I don't think I did last month. I don't think we need a motion for her to make. It's up to the chair to create a committee. So it's not a
I'm making a motion to request her to appoint the committee.
Right. Well, the motion is a motion second, but I think it just takes a suggestion, and then it's up, because it's up to her one way or the other to create that committee. I think it's just a suggestion. Mm-hmm.
I'm wording it more strongly than that, and that's why I made this as a motion.
I understand,
but if the commission approves the motion, then the chair will be appointing the committee.
Not if she doesn't want to. The chair doesn't have to.
In the form of the motion, it would be a direction to the chair to appoint such a committee.
Motion been seconded then?
No.
Hasn't then? Okay.
Hasn't. I was just getting you guys' input. I'm like her, and all of us are very kind of disturbed by how the mismanagement of funding, and we want to do our part is by, you know, researching and sending a strong recommendation to the city council president as well as the mayor office about, you know, to do things better. So who's oversight? Who's like you said, who's a watchdog? Because it's happening too often, and we don't get, and the replies or response that we get is not, it just doesn't substantiate. It doesn't, and it's not okay. So with that being said, you know, there's various ones. Do you guys want, I mean, I'm talking together collectively. Do you all have one you want to center or put eyes on, or, you know, or a couple of them? Because it's been a couple of them that has been by that we saw that they have done poorly with managing the funds. And it's almost like, oh, well. So.
Well, I'll just say this through the course of my years with the city. If you do elect to select a commission, I don't mind offering my time to go through the contracts and report back to whoever the chairman of that is, or to the whole, whoever wants to do it.
Okay.
But
okay.
I don't want to compel the chair to do something, Mr. Day.
And you're right.
Whatever the case might be, I think we need to be delicate in all this, because a lot of this has been going on for forever, and I don't want the question is, I think we should do it specifically on this one now. That's what I would do, and find out exactly what's going on. But I'll agree, after Mr. Freeman's presentation, he's like Trevor Lawrence. You know, I just hand the ball off. What happens after that? You know, I just got the ball, and I don't know why, you know, why ATN fumbled the ball or something. But now I will say this, another entity we can deal with. I just spoke with David Johnson yesterday, who's the Deputy Inspector General. And I'm going to be doing a seminar for them on, you know, quite honestly, which is I used to do, which is how do people steal from the government? How do you play the system and be public bids and stuff like that, which I saw for years when I was with the General Counsel's office. So I'll be doing a seminar for them in April. But to that extent, if we want to, if there's something which is really bad, what do? We give it to the mayor, council auditor, and maybe to the inspector general, too, if there's some, if there's something else. But, again, I'm coming in here so late. Y'all have so much more experience. I'm not trying to be the tidal wave in here. But if that is what your pleasure is, I'll be glad to look at the contract and give you, because we don't have somebody with the General Counsel's office, you know, which we can go over there and ask them to do something. And I don't think we need to do that. We don't have to bother Lucikia. And looking at a contract is not something foreign to me.
Just because something's been going on for years does not mean that we need to tiptoe around it.
Oh, I agree.
It is what it is. It's been happening for years. Perhaps it's time to be a little abrupt and to be a little gruff about this. Apparently, people have been tiptoeing around this for years and doing nothing. So I'm the type of person that if it's written and you're supposed to do it like this, then by golly, you need to do it like that until it's changed. So, you know, being gentle and not wanting to embarrass anybody or whatever, I mean, certainly that's not the intent, is to embarrass anyone, but we are all adults. Everyone that works for the city of Jacksonville are adults. They know how to read. I assume they know how to comprehend what they're reading, and they should also know how to follow policy and procedures and understand contracts. We shouldn't be tiptoeing around this. This is, you know, this particular body is charged with making sure that we don't, that our government doesn't waste our money, and it is ours as well. No, don't waste my money.
I would simply like to reiterate what Commissioner Pryor has said, that this commission has a responsibility to investigate city finances and report when necessary to the city council president, the finance committee chair, and hopefully, because it's passes out as a report, maybe backed up by a resolution requesting some sort of action, that it then will receive some scrutiny from the public and be available to the public for them to be aware of what's happening, and then hopefully the public will prevail upon our city council members to take some appropriate action through its oversight authority.
To the chair.
Go ahead.
Prior, I'm going to take up responsibility for a lot of contracts that I form approval of in the city. And I'm just going to tell you right now, there is no perfect contract, which is ironclad. You know, I'll just give you one example. We had a provision in a contract that said every contractor shall. And then one of the courts actually, who's now in circuit court in Clay County, said shall doesn't mean always. Must might mean always. I'm just saying. So you try and write something that's going to be enforceable for everybody, and think you have it, and then a court might disagree. So I don't think that there's corruption with people stealing. I just think that there's a looseness where people are, you know, we've only seen it a few times, and most of those folks were prosecuted while I was here. But some contracts are better than others, and some the language is clear that everybody ignores. And if that's going to be the intent of the council and the administration, then just take the provisions out just so we're not playing games. But unless contracts have contingencies or something else in them, but that's something we can look at. There might be something over here which is, you know, that needs to be done. But, you know, all we can do is look at it. I'm sorry.
Oh, you're good.
I'm here.
Go ahead. Yes.
I just suggest that we move forward. Do we want to set up a committee, or what do we want to do? I think we're all on the same page.
Right. I was about to do that, but I want to make sure that everybody had a chance to voice themselves. So definitely I would say set up a committee, and I would like for you, sir, to Commissioner Tony, to head it. If you're okay with that.
You want to participate, sir?
Yes, I was going to. You won't be a poor soul by yourself.
And I'll be there as well. Yeah. And
everybody's interested.
Exactly. So let's go. Yeah, we definitely can do that.
Commissioner Pryor volunteers as well. Well, does anyone not?
Did she say it? Are you okay? Okay. Yeah, so that sounds good. And I guess I would say tackle one at a time. You can't tackle everything at one time.
Yeah, I would say to the chair, I think I agree with your sentiments, by the way. Mm-hmm. From my perspective, I think this issue always originates back to contract management because there's no contract management system. It's a loose process in terms of how divisions and offices are responsible for managing them, including training. The procurement code changes did a lot of work to kind of help that, but a lot of that stuff won't come into effect until the next fiscal year anyway. And for instances like this, I don't know whether or not the procurement code would have even helped in the process of how these funds are overspent. So I think for this instance, the mandate is broad, obviously, as the chair has made. The creation of the committee a second ago. But I think we should start at the very least with this particular fund thing because I think this one's unique. It's like it's not ASM in the its relationship with the city. There's not a lot of instances in which you can kind of replicate that. But I do think that we do need to have a concentration to contract management as a whole as well. So I'd be really curious about how finance administration really kind of treats these kind of issues when they do occur and what the process is to kind of remedy that. Because, and I appreciate you being the messenger on this one because I know that's really what your role is on the commission. So I appreciate your service in that regard. But to be quite frank, saying we'll do better next time is not adequate in my opinion. It's just not.
Okay. Vice Chair.
No, I agree with you guys. We've seen it audit after audit. At some point in time, people need to be held responsible with taxpayers' money. I'm in agreement.
Through the chair, Jeff, can you get me a copy of the contract? And do I have to do a public records request to get a copy of all of the email or correspondence between ASM or whoever they are and whoever they were corresponding with the city up until the time that they got the additional money. How do we get that?
I don't think you need a public records request because the request is coming from the true commission.
I was coming through. Jeff.
I'm sure that I can get you a copy of the contract. As far as everybody's emails, that may well take a public records request.
Yeah, that'd be pretty. That's problematic with a city board or commission.
I will say one thing. Correct me if I'm wrong because I can't reference it at the top of my head. But I thought that, because I used this when I was chair when the whole JA thing was happening, I thought our powers were very broad when it came to requesting information that's within the city. And I think there's a general counsel opinion back from, I think it was Procord when Kevin Hyde was council president, that reaffirmed our ability to be able to get that type of information if mm-hmm. we request it. Granted, emails is a little bit, it's a different place. I don't think we've ever gotten to that point yet, but general information like contracts or correspondence or getting response from divisions or chiefs or directors, I thought they were obligated to do that. We don't have to put in a public records request in order for us to be able to get that information.
Jeff, go ahead.
I think it may well be the practice that no matter how you are entitled to get it, the method by which they want it requested is to do it through the public records request system. That's how things get into the system to be answered by whoever has the record, so that may be what they want you to do.
And if they don't, I assume that being that we were appointed by the council president and the council has subpoena power, we could subpoena people, Duces Tecum, with all of the records to come to a meeting if they want to do it the hard way.
Well, I wouldn't want to go Duces Tecum now.
It shouldn't be that difficult.
If push came to shove, came mm-hmm. to fight, I would imagine it might end up something like that. But I would think we could probably resolve it short of all that.
I will say, even during the JA thing,
yes,
I had a positive experience. It wasn't that difficult to get information if you were busted. I will say that.
And how long did it take?
Jeff, you'll be able to get the request for it. Jeff, you'll be the
If Mr. Zubony will email me exactly what it is that you're looking for, I will pass that on to whoever in the administration can answer that.
This isn't a Zubony litigation where I ask for the private cell phone numbers to see if they got private stuff. It's just simple. What they contend is all the communications from the vendor to the city, which led up to the money and the contract. That's what I will send to you, if that's okay. And I, naturally, I can't send it to anybody else.
Nope.
But I'll just send it directly to...
That'd be fine. I got you.
Use the standard communication protocol, but I think any of us who do communicate, make sure we do it via email so we do have a written record of our process. That way we can be scrutinized for how we're conducting our review.
I thought we'd use burner phones and just talk to each other. I'm just teasing. That was just a joke.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you all. This is what we're here for. All right.
When I'm sorry. When you get that information, you'll share it with the rest of the community.
Of course. That's what it's all about. It's not for him.
Then we'll have a meeting. You'll send a meeting?
Yes. And Jeff will email everybody when the meeting should be. Yes.
There'll be a noticed meeting of the committee.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. Well, I'm asking the chair of the subcommittee.
I'll do whatever Jeff and the chair tell me to do.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, the reality is I hate to bring everybody downtown for that, but I realized under 286, I know we did it when I was on the Civil Service Board using Zoom, which everybody could just be in their own offices to do. And I know that the administration and everybody is against that, but for those of you that don't get mileage and don't get anything for this, I might want to think of some way to minimize it, and yet we could advertise it. And if somebody wants to come over here and set up that they can watch it, I would look at other ways to inconvenience y'all as little as possible.
Are you implying that some do get mileage?
if I did, I was mistaken.
Just curious.
Yeah, no, because we don't get
mileage. They might be getting it, but I don't know about it.
Okay. That sounds good. I appreciate that very much.
Thank
and
you,
thank
Madam
you for
Chair.
Stepping up and, you know, and offering your guidance with that. Thank you. Thank you all.
I think it was it will be introduced next Tuesday. As will, that was JTA, as will one for JEA for last year's budget. I just saw those in the new introductions this morning.
All right, sir, did you have more? Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Audit Committee.
So the audit committee met. We went over report 726C, 874, 75, 6, 7, 8, and 879.
Okay. Yes.
We didn't discuss near as much as we just did.
Okay.
We were saving it for this.
Good. Okay. All right. Legislative tracking committee? It's not one yet, has it? Anyone volunteer to be on that yet?
I believe Jones was on
was
it before.
Was,
and I'm supposed to be, and I just
you
never have a
time.
Chance to look at the – I glance at it, and that's about it. So it's my fault. So I'll be happy to be removed, but I'll be happy to continue to the degree that I'm able. So it's up to you.
Can I ask a question that
Mr.
Zubony
had
mentioned about
– Go ahead.
It relates to legislation.
Okay, I'll just say don't digress.
I know, I'm not going to go into it.
Okay.
On the settlement bill that the sheriff had introduced, I know that there was an amendment that was adopted by the Rules Committee that kind of changed the language of it. I didn't get a chance to watch Finance, so did they incorporate that same type of amendment, or did they just approve it as the original language?
The Finance Committee changed the rules amendment a little bit to basically to make the council president the tiebreaker in the event that a constitutional officer, in the event that OGC and risk management say we need to settle and the constitutional officer says, no, I want to go to court and fight it, the council president is going to be the tiebreaker.
What?
They originally said, let's send it to the whole council and let the council decide. They said, well, if we do that, then we're going to need a shade meeting because we're going to be talking about litigation. So we're going to have a court reporter. And then after the shade meeting, eventually that transcript is going to become a public record. And then other attorneys who deal with the city are going to know how we strategize about what to settle and what not to settle. We don't want to create that kind of a public record. They said, well, let's let the president do it, and then there will not be any need for a meeting and transcripts and public records.
Okay, because I remember that was a concern at the time, because they can do shade meetings for active litigation, but they can't do shade meetings on
potential litigation.
Potential litigation.
Yes.
I thought it was immediately in the anticipation of litigation and litigation. I thought it could be for both. You don't think it can be that way?
I think at the time, I believe it was the OGC attorney that represents JSO. I think she represented the Rules Committee that it was only for litigation that was actually filed, and I believe the OGC attorney that's responsible for labor relations also affirmed that as well. Whether that's true, I don't know, but that's what they said at Rules, so interesting.
So that's how it ended up with, and there's a section in the code now that says certain settlements would go to the finance committee chair as the approving party. And they said, well, where it says finance committee chair, let's take that out. Let's put council president in, and then the president can be the tiebreaker.
Okay. So then that means that when it gets to council night, the council president will be able to decide which committee amendment he wants to roll up first, or how do they kind of deal with that since it's too different?
They will talk about that in the pre-meeting meeting, in the agenda meeting, to decide. Normally what they do is they take the one approved latest in the process, which would be finance, but that's open for discussion. If some people prefer one over the other, they'll just have to hash out which one gets offered first. They'll do that Tuesday before the meeting.
Okay, we're going to continue on. Chair's comment. I don't have one at this moment. Old business. All right, go on to new business, and I see the 2024 commission work plan.
That I put that on there because at the last meeting you all said, well, we've heard a bunch of presentations, people have come and talked to us, we've asked a bunch of questions, we've learned things, now what do we want to do with it? So
drawing up a...
I think what I said at the time was that we would take the testimony that we got from each one of the division chiefs that came and spoke, and then we would draw that together into some kind of report that related to the findings that we found. And I think some of the themes that I had mentioned at the time was contract management being one, but the silo effect that is happening within certain city divisions and how one piece doesn't know what the other one's doing.
So I had a meeting yesterday with Randy Reeves. He's the president of Fraternal Order of Police, our local union representing the sworn law enforcement officers, the corrections officers, and also they're called judicial officers, but more commonly known as bailiffs. The contract is up for renegotiation. I met with Randy. He provided me this beautiful color presentation. Jeff will re-email it out to everyone in color, so it's much easier to read than in black and white. The crux of the matter is that if you look at the larger jurisdictions in the state, they took out Miami and Fort Lauderdale. But if you look at Palm Beach, West Palm Beach, they do have Broward County, but not Fort Lauderdale. They have St. Petersburg and Pinellas, Pinellas County, Tampa and Hillsborough County, and then St. John's County, Orange County, without Orlando, and then they looked at FHP located here in Duval. And if you look at the first column on, I guess not, the pages are not numbered, but there is a page. It should say agency starting pay, top end, and retirement contribution. Right, if you look at that page, there all of the agencies are listed out. Then there's an average, which of the those local. Okay, page four. Those local jurisdictions, the average salary, starting salary, is $62,545. ASO is $52,584, 19% below the average of the other local jurisdictions. The top end, the average for the state, is $112,812. Jacksonville Sheriff's Office is $86,000, which is 17% below the state average. Furthermore, you know, and for those of you who are new, 2 years ago, I believe it was, I authored a report looking at staffing, and Jacksonville still remains grossly understaffed in terms of staffing level per 1,000 residents. Part of that reason, part of the reason is the city won't authorize the hires. The other part of the reason is that because of where our compensation levels are and the structure of our pension plan, people are leaving this agency after they get their 3 years in, become certified, and they're going elsewhere in the state so they can become part of the Florida retirement system, as well as being compensated at a higher level. FOP has submitted a proposal to start the bargaining process. And I just wanted to submit this for our information and review. And I think that it might be time that we do a comprehensive study of Jacksonville Sheriff's Office in terms of staffing levels, compensation, and benefits, and to issue a comprehensive report on what we believe should be done in the city of Jacksonville. The first priority of local government is public safety. Police and fire, health, and welfare. So that would be my request.
To the chair, does this? I know that we changed. We got rid of the pension. We gave everybody a big raise, and then we have a very generous 401k. As far as the starting, I mean, there's people in the sheriff's office, lieutenants and chiefs, that make a lot more than $86,000. I mean, I assume this $86,000. Top pay is referring to just somebody that stays.
That's according to Randy, that an individual in the sheriff's office, they would max out $86,000. I'd be happy to invite him to come make a detailed presentation to us.
Got a lot of people making a lot more than that.
Yeah. Is that base or like before overtime or?
Overtime making up to $100,000 a year times for overtime.
Might be the overtime, but. See that it's a significant inequity for Jacksonville compared to other jurisdictions around the state.
And you're right. Basically, and we're going to go back to the because I want to make sure that we don't hold your thought. I want to make sure that in reference to the 2024 Commission Work Plan, what do you guys want to do with that? Y'all want to get Jeff to come back to give us information so we can drop a rough draft to send to the city council president as well as mayor office about, you know, where we're going and what we've seen.
Oh, you mean, well, that's the annual report. That's different.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I said. What I'm asking is, do we need to go ahead and get Jeff to kind of whatever we need to prepare for that annual? Because when does it do? Is it June?
June.
Okay.
That's for the 2023 year, correct?
Right. So is there anything we're going to come back there because that's good. But I want to make sure that we don't go look over this 2024 Commission Work Plan, which is that's what it was all about for that. So any input? Do Do we need Jeff to, like, I mean, because it's new to me. Do we need Jeff to, like, sense, you know, something, or can do remember half of that stuff? Or?
Yeah. I think what Jeff has normally done is when we get closer to the actual due date,
okay.
He will speak on behalf of you
right now. All right. Just, if you would speak in the microphone, though, that would be good.
Normally what's been practiced in the past, and Jeff is always great about this, he will go back and look at the minutes that we've had for that year. He will summarize the topics and the discussions and the people that we've met with. He will give it to us, I believe, the meeting before when it's actually due. He will get our input in terms of what's there, what should be edited, what should be added.
Exactly.
And then when he gets the final draft, then we adopt it.
Okay.
So in that sense, it's almost... It's a lot. I don't want to say easier because Jeff does a lot of work to put that together. That's been the practice.
Okay. So Jeff, so that'll be in a couple of months from now. Okay. I just want to make sure I don't want to I like to stay in order. So I want to make sure that, you know, happens and gets done. So thank you for the information.
Madam Chair, can I just add one? It's TK Waters. He wants to. They're always listening. Now you know that. I appreciate what Mr. Day has said. Public safety is already a huge part of the Jacksonville budget as it is. How we're going to do it is one thing. I would just be very concerned in the as having been with the General Counsel's office and done the negotiations. I would ask us to be very, very circumspect about doing anything except for looking at the final product and not otherwise coming out and being an advocate for the FOP in contract negotiations. I wouldn't want us to come out and say, you know, this is what it is, and they play it up. Well, look, even a city commission has said we're underpaid, you have to pay us. I don't want us to be politicized, become a political anything here.
Okay.
I mean, that's just whatever y'all want to do, naturally. I'm just one vote, but it's good to know. I mean, I understand that. We were warned this was going to happen when we got rid of the pension. But Mayor Payton said, you know, we have to get rid of the debt, too.
Mayor Curry got rid of the pension.
Curry is correct. Whatever y'all do is fine, but I just ask you to keep in mind that if I was your lawyer, I'd say let's not participate in the negotiation process.
Okay. Right. And also, going back to Raymond, Commissioner Day, having them to come out, if you want them to come out again, you know, and talk with us, that's fine. But as I've been out in the past couple of months, I've actually met with JSO. And like you said, it's a pension. People do not stay with JSO because of the pension, the pay. That's a big deal. Even they can go as close as
Clay, St. John's, Nassau,
Ferndina, Flagler County, all those places, and they're going to get, you know, top-notch everything. So why wouldn't they go somewhere else? So they're going to have to find another, you know, in the future, they're going to have to come up with something better to keep those cops. Because what's happening, you put them through the schooling, and once they dump the school, they go elsewhere. Once they dump the training, they go elsewhere for more money. You can't blame them. Yes.
I hope you have a chance to look at this, because the data in here is extremely disturbing. We're on the verge of essentially what is already happening in terms of us becoming a training ground.
Yep.
It has the potential to cost us like $30 million a year just to replace the attrition, the people. We know that people are retiring, and here is the data on the number of retirees over the next 4 years. So at some point, our entire law enforcement structure, the entire agency of the sheriff's office becomes extremely compromised. It can't fulfill its duty. They can't even answer the calls for service that are coming in now. They're so vastly understaffed. So I just, you know, ask you to look at the report. I don't think we have to advocate for FOP, mm-hmm. but I do believe we can politicize this issue, because ultimately it is a political issue that has to be tackled by the city council.
Go ahead. as well as the mayor office. Like, they need to get together with sheriff and get together and have a conversation about this.
I will say,
police officers,
and I say this not because someone told me to, but just from my observation as well. I also, if we're going to venture into this land with caution, especially since they're going to be negotiating and a lot of it's going to be happening behind closed doors as the whole process is, and frankly, the policymakers, especially council, won't see it until the final product is negotiated. But Mr. Tony is much more of an expert in terms of the legal intricacies of that. But if we're going to venture on this road, I think we also need to consider also talking about city employee pay as well, which frankly is not that great either. I think that's the one thing that's probably like the ticking time bomb in terms of, and the reason why I say it that way is attrition, the amount of people and the age frames in which city employees are, the subtle collapse in which people will start to retire. Their wages are not competitive enough in order to entice people to want to be city employees. And we have the cascading effect of not being able to kind of replace that knowledge. And there have been subtle increases over the course of the last couple of years to kind of make up for that, but they do not compare to what someone can make straight out of college in the private sector. So that if we're going to venture to that, I think we should also talk about that.
And in this report, and I don't remember the page, but there is a page that reflects that towards the back. It says starting pay for non-law enforcement enforcement jobs with minimum requirements. This primarily applies to the corrections officers and the bailiffs. And for the bailiffs, the average wage is $20.60 an hour. And Bucky's, Walmart, Landstar, and St. John's County crossing guards all make a starting wage higher than our bailiffs here in Duval. Good point to look at it in comparison of what happens in other agencies, but you could also look at what happens when people leave JSO and go to work in the private sector.
Madam Chair, may I ask to the chair, Mr. Day, do you want the Jaguars here or do you want cops? Which one do you want here?
We want both, and we can afford both. This city can afford both. We have the financial capacity. I think our residents want both, and I don't think it's an either or. I think they're mutually reinforcing choices.
Go ahead. I thought. Jeff, correct me if I'm wrong. I thought whenever the city goes into a negotiating year for contracts for city employees, both law enforcement or not, that employee services will normally do like that. That's, I forgot what study it is to kind of compare where the pay rates are for the pay scales for the current employees of the city.
Market study.
Thank you. Is that something that will happen and it will also include law enforcement salaries as well? Because I know this is a product that's created by FOP, but I didn't know whether or not the city engages in that as well, so that way they can firm up their negotiating point.
I'm almost certain that they would do that as a way of preparing to go into the negotiations, because they know what the union's going to say, and so they're going to need numbers to bolster whatever their case may be. So I don't ever recall seeing it, but I would imagine that's part of the process of getting ready.
And FOP has made their proposal to the negotiating committee, so it's on the table, and they will be presenting this information at a meeting, I think, tomorrow or one day next week. So they're early in the process, and this is what they're going to be sharing with the negotiating team.
So I'm going to pull a Velma right now. So what's the – I mean, that's a compliment. So what's your goal? What do you want the commission to do?
I think we should be aware of how deficient we are in terms of staffing, which I outlined 2 years ago, how deficient we are in terms of how much we compensate our police officers, our corrections officers. There's a current class of 44 trainees or recruits going through the academy class for corrections. 44, 15 seats are filled. Part of the capacity is 44 in the class. Only 15 people have signed up. We're you know, 35-40% of the class size are being trained. And then we wonder why we don't have adequate staffing in the jail. Well, part of the reason is the compensation. But moreover, the other part of the reason are the conditions in that building down the street. People don't want to work in it. It's unhealthy, and that's contributing to a lot of the attrition in the corrections.
I will say, coming over and listening to the radio, TK Waters was on there asking people to apply. You know, they are seriously thinking about moving the police memorial building. Most police officers spend very little time there anyway, and the jail too. So it's so that's, you know, that's in the works.
Right. Council President Salem has, you know, he's taken that issue on. He's appointed Councilmember Boylan to chair that special committee. They are beginning to make progress. And I mean, the fundamental function of city government needs to be reviewed on a comprehensive basis and come up with a strategy for how we're going to provide those basic services, which are the primary services of local government. That's my position.
I will say, I do not envy that negotiating team, because whatever they negotiate, it will be in the backdrop of the stadium, moving the jail, rising CIP costs, rising debt costs, rising sea levels, and all the other magical things that policymakers want to do on top of that. So there's lots of decisions that will have to be made in terms of priorities.
Welcome to 55 years of kicking the can down the road.
Yeah. That's Jacksonville
National. But I must agree. Of course, I definitely know the ins and outs with GSO. I definitely must agree that the city employees overall are paid horribly.
When is that contract up, Jeff?
Same time.
They're both up currently?
I believe they get negotiated around, if I'm wrong, you tell me, but I thought they get negotiated.
Yeah, generally they're around the same time. And typically the way it works, the way it has worked over many years, is that one or the other of the public safety unions goes first, either police and fire, either police or fire, and what they agree to at the bargaining table is what everybody gets after that,
exactly. Yeah,
including
that is true.
City employees.
That is true.
Now they may be a little different, but generally speaking, city employees get whatever that first union strikes a bargain got.
Gotcha. Okay. All right.
So the work plan.
Oh, now you're back.
Now you're back to work. I want to draw us back to the agenda. So we have two. We have the committee that we just established.
Right.
That's your first item on your work plan. You have upcoming city contracts for union employees, for negotiated contracts. And I think that also affects non-union employees as well in terms of the increase as well. Right, Jeff? Okay. So that's item two. I guess the only thing I want to ask the chair is, do we want to do this in phases? Do we want to do these simultaneously? How would you imagine the work plan would be for these items?
Well, I know the union negotiations are time sensitive, so I'll just submit that for
you. Yeah, and whatever they did on the other contract is done. So we're just looking at, we're doing an autopsy as opposed to an operation. It's okay to say. I mean,
that's the reality.
Okay. So you're asking, do we want to do it all at one time? Is that maybe that might much?
Either one, I was just putting it out there. So
what do you guys think? All you guys want to do it all at one time? Or I think I wouldn't say all of it at one time. I hate doing that. I want to crush it. So we'll do it, you know, not all at one time. Definitely.
I'd like
not
to do them sequentially.
Right. Definitely not at one time.
Not concurrently.
No. So I would say, as a chair, definitely not at one time. We can do it in a periodic way, but definitely not at one time. You guys you okay with that? You guys okay with that?
So how do you want the
volunteer.
So involuntary to kind of do that.
If you want to do a committee, I'll be happy to volunteer to chair this committee and get other.
Please.
And I think a committee of four is a good number. So
okay. That sounds good.
Bruce, do you want to do police?
I think I'm going to do
contracts. Okay. So that would be one, two, and then Kim.
I'm going to definitely stick with
four.
What?
Your ex officio on both. Yeah, yeah. So why don't we do four? So I'll come off of the contracts, and then that would be one, two, three. Are we missing a commissioner today?
Well, you're not counting her.
Well, she's ex officio.
What are the
name tags over there? Who's missing?
That's Carter. He's gone.
We're been replaced, hasn't he?
A new commissioner.
Probably coming up.
We have a couple coming.
There is a one person I believe may be up for final vote on Tuesday.
That would be Andrea Letizia.
And I do know that Council President Salem will be submitting another name.
Lake Ray was withdrawn this week. And I just heard today that the North CPAC is going to have a nominee for us, Althea Michael. It'll be a while for her.
Their CPAC, correct? Greater Arlington Beaches CPAC? Mr. Roberts' replacement.
Yes. So let's go back on the JSO collective bargaining. We've got Day, Henry, Henry. Day, Roundsville.
No, Tyson's got with Joe. He's not.
So right now it's a committee of three.
Day, Roundsville, and.
But the chair will.
Carter.
As ex officio, she can sit in on anything she wants to.
And then the ASM. Going to be Henry, Tyson, and Pryor. Okay.
And Zaboni is chair.
And Zaboni is chair.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, here it is.
Hold on now. ASM, Zaboni, Henry. Tyson? Pryor?
I rolled off.
You're on the other one now.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
Thought somebody was pointing at Mr. Barr.
Yes. He's
on
that
police.
He's an employee contract. And Commissioner Roundsville, employee contract.
Oh, yes. There we go. All right. I got it.
And the reality is on the timing. We'll get the contract and look at it. So that's even though it's time sensitive or not, that'll be something we could probably get resolved even before the police and fire negotiations
so. Yeah,
would be
I would
over.
I think we
in the normal course without.
I would say I'm looking at maybe let's getting this knocked out no later than the April meeting, April commission meeting. Because all the rest of February. That way, whatever evidence we compile, the council members will have as they go into deliberation of whatever the final work product.
Yeah, the only thing is what we're doing is, I would suggest if we're going to finish in April, then the first meeting in May, we would invite the ASM person and whoever the supervisor is to come in and talk to make sure that we're all on the same page.
Sounds
before
good.
It's just a final.
I would request that we invite Mr. Reed to present at the March Tree Commission meeting.
Is that Jeff?
Firefighters on two or just Mr. Reed?
I don't know who took
Randy's voice. Randy Wise retired. Oh, yeah, he's
retired. I think he's retired from JFRD as well.
Right.
I think we're about done.
JFRD about a year ago, and I think he retired from the union in December. Do you know the new president?
I do. I'm just
not Kelly Dobson, I don't believe. I know Kelly.
Through the chair.
It's Kelly Dobson. Oh, okay, great. All right.
I thought we were possibly inviting the leadership of the utility contractors. We're going to come out and talk about the contracting, and that was going to be in the March meeting. But if I need to push them back or something, I told them that would be about 40 minutes. They would talk about dealing with JEA and city procurement with the new code. How does it work, and how does it work in the field? If there's a, you know, just how are the contracts actually administered from their perspective as opposed to a perspective of what the city tells us it's being done.
That we had that down
for pushing that back
to April. Yeah, I'll push it back to April then. That's what you like.
So wait a minute, hold up. So that was supposed to be in for March.
Yes.
Is that Jeff, about the utility?
He's looking. Well, now they're going to be April, right?
Right.
March is going to be
FOP.
Yes. Yeah. FOP. And
Kelly.
And Kelly. Firefighters.
And then
get Randy to give me Kelly's number.
And then
unless you have Kelly's
number. Okay, and then and then we have the following. Okay. The other one, right?
We got April. And then May, we've got the ASM people, and then whoever they're, the sports entertainment people that manage it.
Sounds good.
Can I make a suggestion, too, after that, who we might want to call back? If y'all recall Mr. Freeman, he gave a bunch of testimony, and as a result of his testimony, we had to bring in Ms. Hodges to say that he was mistaken. And if y'all recall, when he was in here, he definitely looked like somebody that was paddling upstream very hard.
Okay.
And he only had 1 year to get all this straight. We might want to just do an interim just to see what kind of progress he's making.
Okay.
To see if there's something else that the city needs to do before we get to the 11th hour, and he doesn't have the manual done, and he's having problems. I'm going through the new code, doing this for NUCA, and they've got a lot of things where he is responsible for that the inspector general is responsible for. I'll do that once I do it. I can just share it with y'all just to let you know based on the new code,
okay,
what the new responsibilities of everybody are, if that'd be of interest.
I co-sign on everything that you said because I have that same.
And are you good with that?
You already have it done?
Oh, no. I said I agree with everything that you said because I have that same concern as well about – I'm afraid of that we get to the deadline. It's like I need an extension because we're not done yet.
Okay. So you got all that? You have all that, Jeff?
That'd be June maybe for Freeman back.
Get that, Jeff.
Be clear. Will we be having subcommittee meetings?
Committee meetings.
You know, so we can go over?
Yes. Jeff and – talk about that real quick.
Yeah, because we've never been on these committees, and we know we have restrictions for talking.
Which is a good thing. Now that we're beginning to get enough critical mass of members, we can do some division of labor. Jeff, how early can you be available for a publicly noticed meeting?
8 a.m.
Okay. Thelma?
Yes, I'm available, but I am not available for any meetings next week.
Okay, principle, are you okay with an 8 o'clock morning?
No, but I'll come.
So here's the thing.
With a couple of days heads up, I work 6 to 2, but I can change my schedule. I just need a little notice.
Okay, by being the chair, I want to be able to tap in sometime and see what's going on. So that definitely, because I'm working from 7 to 2, right. About 2:20. So that'll be a problem. I won't be able to come and I won't know what's going on.
All right, then let me make this suggestion. Could we meet one meeting a month at the 8 o'clock slot and then another meeting in an afternoon slot that would be a little bit more accessible for you? Unless you want to attend every single.
No, the afternoon I can take. I'm good with that, but the morning I cannot. I wish I could, but I cannot.
Do you want to attend every meeting or just
many as I can?
All right, okay. Then what's our availability for an afternoon meeting? I can usually break away periodically and make a 4 o'clock meeting because I can be down here in 15 minutes.
That usually works. It just depends on the day. I have many meetings.
Can we all just email Jeff and give him our availability and let's figure out how we're going to structure this?
Okay. I'm available anytime after 2:30.
Okay.
Start at 4.
Yeah, I mean, that's good for me, except when some of us are also on CPACs.
Yep.
Of course, and I'm the vice chair, so, you know, I'm there at 4:15.
Correct.
So those days, and we all have different days.
Understood, correct. That's why we just send Jeff your availability. He and I will confer. We'll come up with a schedule.
The meetings only last about an hour and a half. Most of my meetings start at 6, so that would I would have the ability to do that.
Madam Chair, unlike slave driver over here with 8 o'clock meetings, my preference would be as long as we notice it, it does not have to be here. If I'm going to do something, I might, even though I'm in Mandarin, I might suggest someplace like Nura Cafe, at which I would treat all of the committee members to lunch, and we would notice it and have a meeting down in the private room at lunch.
I mean, it's committees.
It has to be a publicly accessible location.
It's accessible.
They're
it's accessible as much as this is accessible. He has a separate room.
I thought you have to have someone there doing the minutes of whatever.
Jeff can come too. I'll buy his lunch.
I do. Yes. The guidance from the ethics office has been all meetings should be in a public building, preferably City Hall, which is set up for recording, and a library if you really push it, but no private buildings.
That's very nice. That's their opinion, but that's not binding on us. That's not an ethical violation, period. It's kind of access.
We are subject to the ethics. We all did take the ethics
training. Madam Chair, I have to leave. I'm
go ahead, darling. Go ahead. Yeah. We'll adjourn in a few minutes because I have to leave too. Go ahead, darling. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Ramon, you got off the committee, so if they axe us all, you still survive.
So, Jeff, I guess I'm going to say this, and I'm embarrassed about it, so I guess there's no Zoom.
I just know what Chapter 286 says. I don't know what the people in the
I know. I'm on PSG, and we do Zoom, but granted, that's not something that council is managing. That's a city council division that's doing it.
Okay. No, we're not quasi-judicial. This isn't like the Civil Service Board or the Planning Commission. I mean, we're advisory. I mean, I got it. Maybe we should ask for an ethics opinion or something, but it's going to be my intent to do that, you know, and it's going to be my intent to treat you all to lunch. Let's see if that doesn't get their ire up a little bit.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, Raymond, you want breakfast?
That's surely an ethical violation right there.
Yeah, it sure is.
I'll be the first to admit I'm a sinner.
Better take
fine.
That class.
My guys. All right. Okay. Great, guys. We'll communicate with Jeff about our times and places. Everybody's good. Okay, so I want to make a motion. If there's any questions, concerns, if not, I want to make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
I'll second.
Hold up. Oh, I don't have any comments. No commission's comments. So, again.
I have none.
Again, I'm making a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Second.
All in favor? It's done.
All right.
Here you are,
Jim.
Thank
you. You were quick.
Generally, the chair doesn't make a motion.